Paul Redier, the worldview of ABC News, the ACLU, and the National Education Association. Now, tune in for the other worldview. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators. I'm a pastor, but the reason I'm here today, I'm a father of five. And I'm raising my children in a day where 36% of children are born without fathers. Half of marriages end in divorce and the SAT scores are falling. And the literacy rates among college kids declined 10% over the last 10 years. And that's not the only problem. Hey, we've got a declining job satisfaction. This according to a report from the Conference Board. They did an extensive survey of 5,000 households across the United States and found that job satisfaction has dropped about 10% since 1995. In 1995, 60% of Americans were satisfied with their work. Today, it's 50%, and only 14% are very satisfied with their work. Now, Dave, my guess is most of these interviews have been conducted with people who work for the corporate world, not entrepreneurs, because my guess is the entrepreneurs are going to be, for the most part, very satisfied with what they're doing. I put it up around 80, 90%.
Yeah, and my guess is that people in the corporations, less than half of them are satisfied based on my experience.
Yeah, the survey found that job satisfaction has declined across all income brackets in the last 9 years. The largest decline in overall job satisfaction was among younger workers, 35 to 44 years of age. That's where the steepest decline is occurring right now, declined from 61% to 49% in just the last 10 years. 40% of workers feel disconnected from their employers. Two out of every three workers do not identify with or feel motivated to drive their employer's business goals and objectives, despite the fact that the company took them off-site and gave them the free lunch and the brownie.
And they boarded their goals. They all got together and said, what are our goals?
Yeah, they did. But still, they still do not capture the vision for the corporation and therefore are not satisfied with their job. It's not just the fact that people are working for boring corporations and don't share their goals and objectives. A big problem is that children or young people are not seeking their calling in life. And that's why on this Nuts and Bolts Friday program, we want to talk about calling. A young man and a young woman's calling. What is your calling in life? Now, the principle of individuality, which we bring out on this program from time to time, is the principle that assumes that every child is different. I mean, it's the first thing you say when the second child comes, right? They're so different. And by the time the third child comes, you don't bother saying it because it's the biggest no-brainer out there. Every child is different. And because they're different, they have a different calling in life and therefore need a different education. Education cannot be the boxed sort that you find in your typical educational institutions today. It's got to be tailor-made to the individual calling, gifts, and abilities that God has given every one of our precious little children. And so as we develop their principle of individuality, seek to understand it, we will find their calling. So important to establish a calling. Think about it, Dave. It provides a roadmap, a goal for our young adults. When they turn 18, 19, 20 years of age, we don't want them wandering around California trying to find themselves. Or worse yet, at 35, after what, four bachelor's degrees or six different majors and eight different colleges, they're still trying to find themselves somewhere in California. Just don't want that kind of thing. A lot of kids, I think, do go to college without a purpose or a plan. If I think somebody said, if you don't know where you're going, any train will get you there. And there are a lot of young people, 18, 19, 20 years of age, they're just completely aimless. They have no idea what they're doing. They're flipping hamburgers in McDonald's and hoping to get the cashier's position and still not really knowing what God's calling is on their life by the time they're, 22 and 23 years of age. I've seen a lot of homeschooled kids in this same predicament, Dave. A calling, a direction in life, a purpose in life, a specific area where God wants you in life is important for every kid. Because if you think about it, if this young person is going to get married, he's going to need some stability. You don't want him switching jobs every 2 years trying to figure out what he's supposed to do. And the Bible says, you know, whatever you do, do it with all your might. Do it for the glory of God. Do it with focus. Do it with purpose. And isn't this what we want for our children? I think so. Ladies and gentlemen, today, calling on this program, we want to talk about identifying the calling, the specific calling that God has on our young people. Because if we don't find it, Our kids could be wandering around California trying to find themselves, or worse yet, switching jobs every other year or so. In their marriage, that would not be a good thing. Calling today on Generations, my name is Kevin Swanson. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Kevin Swanson. It's Nuts and Bolts Friday. The program is Generations, and today, calling. In my book, Upgrade, I define education to be the preparation of a young person emotionally, physically, spiritually, and physically for life and eternity. And if we're going to do this, we got to kind of figure out what we're preparing him for. You need to have a goal. You need to have a purpose in mind if you're going to prepare somebody. So part of educating a child is identifying the goal, the life, for which we are preparing him. This is his calling. Martin Luther said, what you do in your house is worth as much as if you did it up in heaven for our Lord God. For what we do in our calling here on earth is in accordance with his word and command. He counts it as if it were done for him in heaven. It looks like a small thing when a maid cooks and cleans and does other housework. But because God's command is there, even such small work must be praised as a service of God far surpassing the holiness and asceticism of all monks and nuns. That's Martin Luther. And what he's doing here, Dave, is he's given us the idea that all work is of value if it's done for God. And that, I think, is the first principle here. We want to be doing things for God, for the glory of God, and our calling must be obedience to God. See, what we're doing has to be in relation to God, not to ourselves.
And Martin Luther was countering an idea that was put forth by the Roman Church that the only holy vocation was that of working for the church. There's many people today who think that there's ministry work and then there's other work. And Martin Luther is saying, no, whatever vocation you're at, whatever labors are at your hand, that is ministry if done to the glory of God and for the benefit of fellow men.
Yeah, you hear people talk about full-time ministry. You know, I'm in full-time ministry now. I've finally achieved, you know, God's richest calling for mankind. And I am at the pinnacle of all of those callings, and that is full-time ministry. But that's really not what God's Word says. God's Word says whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So the first part of a calling is to develop a right relationship to God and to the work that you do in life. You need to be going to work on Monday morning for the glory of God, for glorifying God and enjoying Him. What we do needs to be in accordance with the vision that God lays out in His Word. So the first thing we need to convey to our children is a vision for life. And that vision has got to be in accordance with God's revelation, God's Word, how God wants us to live His life. On the first tier, it's to the glory of God. That's the most basic thing. There isn't a person alive who shouldn't be working right now to the glory of God. That's a calling God has on all of us. He doesn't call all of us to flip hamburgers at McDonald's, but He does call all of us to glorify Him.
So whether one's an accountant or a zoologist, they should view that as ministry, as taking dominion in God's world and as ministering to the saints and ministering to his fellow man. Every job should be done for the glory of God and the advancement of His kingdom.
And what we're saying is that you need to develop a right worldview or a right teleology, a right purpose for life, before you even set out on this effort to find the calling God has for you, the specific calling God has for you. So what we need to train our children in is this purpose of working for the glory of God, no matter what we're doing. Now, secondly, the second part of calling is to take a look at your child and ask the simple question, is this child a boy or a girl? Now, in general, you will be able to answer that question, right? There are a few exceptions to that.
Jean-Jacques Rousseau couldn't.
Yeah, well, that's only because he abandoned his children, did not have a relationship with them. But if you have a relationship with your child such that you see your child after they're born and you've changed their diapers a few times, you're going to know whether she's a boy or a girl. Now, this is important. Why is this important? Because God's Word says that boys and girls have a different calling in life. Now, okay, I know that's a shock to the feminist culture out there. If you're a feminist and you're listening to me right now, if you bought into an egalitarian worldview and you're listening to this program, you're going to be shocked with what I'm about to say. And that is that boys and girls are different. Okay, I'll just let that sink in for a moment. Boys and girls are different. And God has a specific calling or a vision for boys and girls. And we've kind of gone over this before on the program, so I'm not going to go into a lot of depth. But girls have been created normatively to be helpmeets for their husbands and home rulers. Okay? That's normatively what a little girl is going to be when she grows up. She's going to be a helpmeet for her husband and a home ruler. Now, a boy has another vision, and that vision is dominion taker, Genesis chapter 2. He's going to be the resident theologian in his home, 1 Corinthians 14. He's going to be responsible for the nurture, the Christian nurture of his children, bringing up his children, educating his children, training his children. He's responsible for that. He is the head of the home, Ephesians chapter 5. He is to be a sacrificial lover, Ephesians chapter 5. These are specific goals for boys and girls, and they ought to be trained in these goals. Now, my point here, Dave, I know I'm not talking about whether your boy is going to be an accountant or a rocket scientist. I haven't even gone there yet. But what have I said? I said his first tier vision or goal for life is glorifying God. His second tier is sacrificial lover, resident theologian, dominion taker, etc., etc. See, if you don't have these biblical goals in mind, this biblical worldview, this biblical framework first, you're not going to know if you're going to be an accountant or a zoologist. You're not going to be able to flesh that out. So first, you've got to get the biblical goal or vision for you as a human being or as a boy and girl. All right, now, we've already established what the basic purpose for life is, what that goal is going to be, and whether or not our child is going to be raised to be a man or a woman. But now let's move on to the third level, and that is the individual gifts, abilities, calling that God has placed on them. And you know what, Dave? I think we begin virtually on day one to discover this. Brenda and I are talking all the time about the skills and abilities and giftings that God has uniquely blessed our children with. I look at Daniel, and you know, Daniel's a real people person. He's always been that way. At 4 years old, Dave, Brenda and I would be in a restaurant, okay? And we weren't happy with something about the food. We would send our son to go talk to the manager about it. He would leap up and he'd go and he would love to get, you know, involved with people and talk to people. He's much more outgoing than Brenda and I are. Very, very people person oriented. Several years ago, 9, 10 years of age, I told Daniel, you know what? I will give you 10% of everything you sell at conferences. When I go to conferences, we sell books. Dan sells and gets 10%. And even as early as that, he was selling $800, $900 a whack. And people were coming up to me in conferences and saying, you know, you're pretty good. Some of your presentations are really good, but let me tell you about your son. Let me tell you about how much he helped us at the book table. He pointed out all of the good things and the bad things about different resources that he was selling on the book table. You know, here at 8, 9 years of age, we were seeing our son's gifts and abilities and using them to God's glory, and of course for his own benefit. He was getting 10%. Did I mention that?
Yeah, and people should be warned if they ever go to hear you speak at a homeschool conference or something, that when they go out to the book table, hang on to their wallets, because yes, Daniel Swanson is there.
Yeah, yeah.
And he sees him coming.
And that pit bull on your leg, you know, trying to get a sale, that's Daniel. But Daniel loves people. He loves to sell. He loves law as well. He's got a very critical mind. So he's thinking about real estate. He's, you know, I'm always seeing these real estate ads around my car because he's pulling them off of the stands down at Safeway or King Supers. He is very interested in real estate and sales, and he's about 14 years old. So we're beginning to identify where Daniel's going to be in life. But again, it begins early on. Emily was writing letters. She was writing and writing and writing as early as 7, 8 years of age. She was doing typewritten letters to Grandpa and Grandma almost daily when she was 8, 9 years of age. And she writes almost every day today. I mean, she'll sit down and write 3,000, 4,000 words on any given week. Just an avid writer. Loves to write. She will be a writer. I'm convinced of it. Our little Rebecca Joy, she's, what, 10 years of age now? Rebecca Joy is an artist. We know it. We know it. So, Dave, I think people get this idea that somehow you have to identify this calling. When this child is 22 years old and been through college for 3, 4 years, that shouldn't be the case at all. As parents, we need to be developing a relationship with our children such that we know them And I think, Dave, again, the relationship issue is critical here. If parents haven't established a discipling, close relationship with that child, how in the world are they going to know what that child's calling is? Dave, are you developing an understanding of your own children and where they're going to be in life?
I'm trying to. Of course, I'm trying to do that for myself as well, constantly, and refine that. I think there's a temptation to seek the corporate security, to say, find a good corporation, get a paycheck, do your job, come home, raise your family. That's really in contrast to finding an area of dominion and being excellent, taking a few risks, enjoying the freedom, and using whatever that vocation is to really expand God's kingdom. There are two totally different mindsets, and it's too easy to get sucked into that position that pays well, but might not fit well.
And I think one way in which children can identify where they're going to go in life, whether it be the entrepreneur track or the corporate track, is to get involved early on. That's what we did with Daniel. We had him start working in our own little business, so to speak, and he was applying his gifts and abilities in that area. I highly recommend apprenticeships. Dave, even as early as 13, 14 years of age, I encourage young people to step into something and try it. Because how in the world are you going to know what God's calling is in your life unless you jump into the pool, warm up to the water, and then figure out whether or not that's specifically what you want, or whether you ought to attenuate it, adjust it a little bit to something else. But until you're in the water, until you are actually trying something related to what you think God wants you to do in life, you're not going to be able to make that adjustment. And one of the best areas in which a young man or a young woman can get involved is in his father's business. That is, if he has a business. Now, not every father has a business, but usually families have something going on besides the corporate work. I mean, there might be some little part-time entrepreneurial effort that family is engaged in or whatever. The children can get involved in that, as my son has gotten involved in my own little business, Ministry Outreach. And he's getting a feel for what he can do and what he can do well. Now, I'm not expecting my son to do exactly what I do. Now, he's not on the air with us right now. From time to time, he comes on here. But he doesn't do exactly what I do. But he's involved in my area of ministry and business. And he's moving into the areas in which he is competent, in which he enjoys, in which he can produce and produce well. So I think the point here is get practical experience, and that practical experience will begin to fine-tune the calling, the specific calling that God has on that little boy's or that little girl's life. Now, let me also say that I think we ought to maximize on the strong points that our children have. And only apply the weak areas as much as is necessary. For example, if a child is weak in math, I mean, don't force the child to go through calculus. I mean, why is calculus necessary for somebody who's going to own a car dealership? It's not necessary. So maximize that child's abilities and minimize, apply, you know, some minimal effort in the area in which he or she is weakest. If your son struggles with English but is gifted in math, don't try to make him a lawyer, for example. If your daughter has an incredible knack for the piano, let her take lessons and eventually teach the rest of the children how to play the piano. So these are examples of maximizing on the skill areas that God has given our children uniquely. And this, of course, is one of the reasons why the boxed system just doesn't work. Ladies and gentlemen, today the subject has been finding the calling for your child. And personally, I cannot think of a more important area for families, for fathers and mothers to get involved in the raising of their children. Because the direction, the effectiveness, the influence, the involvement that they will have in God's kingdom, the production, the things that they will produce for God's kingdom is hinging on this issue of finding the calling that little child has. Ladies and gentlemen, today the subject is calling, finding the calling that God has on your child's life. I don't think there's anything more important, especially during those teenage years, to fine-tune a calling, because we don't want our children to be wandering around California trying to find themselves at 32 years of age. We want them focused. We want them maximizing on the talents and abilities that God has given them. We want them living life to its fullest, to the glory of God. We want them making the most significant impact they can possibly make for God in this world. And to do that, we have to identify that calling. I make a big point out of this in my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Several chapters dedicated to the issue of finding that calling. You can get my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, by calling 877-842-CHECK. That's 877-842-CHECK. Or go to the web. It's on the web at checkbooks.com. You can interact with this program by emailing me, host, at kevinswanson.com. That's host, at kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.